It's Thursday. It has to be in Corning. Don't they have a senior deal or something at the casino for dinner?
Oh, I think so.
I like the way Thursdays. You call
Yeah.
For crying out loud.
Yeah. That's what we'll do next time.
We're all going to have the 50-cent dinner.
Yeah.
Because we're all seniors.
Yeah.
Look what we found.
Look at that. Yeah, somebody out in the hallway, huh?
Look what we found.
So we have a quorum now, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I apologize if my keys make noise during the meeting. It's not my phone, but my keys are on the fritz. So my alarm's just randomly making noise.
Your keys are on.
They are. I don't know what's going on. I got to go get them checked out.
That's Yeah, are you
not
sure?
Not my phone, I promise.
Amanda, are you sure that's not a GPS? On your ankle? Well, you have
yeah, one. Right? Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. All right, well, we'll call this to order at 5:32. And if you'll stand with me for the Pledge of Allegiance. Salute, pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, at this time we'll open up public comment for anybody out there that's in the public that has a comment.
I just have two things that just I found out about today, which they're both kind of exciting. One is Waste Connections invited Senator Nielsen to come tour their district. So that's mostly the hauling side of it, but he will be at the landfill tomorrow briefly. So I think that's pretty neat to show him our facility. Unfortunately, it's too late for me to notice it as a public meeting to the board members.
And who was it?
Senator Nielsen. The second is next week we have our annual AB 939 site visit. And one of the items that the state's requesting to visit is Omega Waste. And I've got them to agree to allow us the facility. So great. I'm excited about that. That's all.
So what time is Nielsen supposed to be out there?
About 10.
Are you expecting any other elected officials out there?
It'd be a brownout. You just have to show up.
I could show. I mean, you know, there's not enough people out there for a quorum, and there's not, you know, one person could show up without a problem.
And only five of you know about it. See.
Yeah.
That's
true. Yeah.
Hello, Steve.
Jim, welcome.
Thank you.
Just beginning.
All right. Finish public comment. I guess if there are no other comments out there from the public.
Thank you for coming.
We'll move on to the regular items. The approval of the minutes from the July 19th meeting. That was our last meeting. It was July 19th. Do I have a motion? Did anybody even read these?
Mm-hmm.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Next we'll move on to the warrant register. The warrant register for March. The general warrant register. Any questions? Any comments? With that, any motions?
A motion.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. We'll move on to the grant warrant for March. In that, I just wanted a couple things. Apparently, we have a grant for a mini storage. Is that just an ongoing forever grant to put our stuff in a mini storage after we built this $1 million building to put stuff in?
It's where we store all of our oil drain containers.
Oh.
Which are a lot, and they're bulky.
Yeah.
And we also have, it's strictly for used oil recycling things we give out to the public. So our filter containers, our funnels, the hundreds of oil drain containers that we have.
Yeah.
Could,
could we find a self-storage that's further away?
We're working on trying to downsize.
No, I understand the need for the storage for something like that.
Actually, it's a very convenient location because the bulk of what we hand out is during the fair, and it's right across the street.
Oh, yeah.
So it helps us set up for the fair.
Okay. And we got a grant for a message board. I did not know that.
That's the city of Tehama. That's their city county payment program funds for beverage container recycling. They chose to use their money. They had a lot of money. They were still in fiscal year 11, 12, and they only have another year to get themselves all caught up. So they had to spend a bunch of money to be able to, or they're going to lose it. Mm-hmm. So these message boards are actually made out of recycled plastic, and there will be one at the museum and one at their preschool.
And that's just for their general use as a incorporated city. Well, good.
The agency also uses it to 8939 outreach. So we spend their money too.
Good. Then the other one was the battery box program, household hazardous waste billboard. Is that advertising the really in a $5,000 advertisement budget in
that's
a grant?
Our HD 25 grant. We're doing a general hazardous waste disposal outreach campaign. Part of what it entails is for us to run two billboards each for 1 year. The first one was to round up your batteries for that all battery box. The second one is general HHW collection. That billboard is actually at the intersection of 36 and 99 over by the sheriff's office.
Mm-hmm. I'll look.
It looks good.
I think I saw it and noticed it once and don't remember it, of course. So. All right, that's all I have. Anybody else? Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Okay, we'll move on to the regular agenda item. Number one is the used oil collection and recycle services agreement. And I think Rachel wants to talk about that.
I do want to talk about that. So actually, Rich has been working on this pretty diligently. You'll recall that one of the goals of our agency this year is to relocate the agricultural diesel collection tank that's located at Corning Disposal to another location. When the gentleman operated the recycling facility passed away, they chose to not restaff that position, so there's no one to have oversight over the tank. And we've had several locations who have expressed interest, but we require that they own the property if we're going to locate the tank there. So many of them have fallen through. And then Rich, through his exhaustive outreach efforts trying to find a location, found Richfield Metal Recycling, which is actually very good because, one, they're a metal recycling scrap facility, so they're heavily regulated by the Water Board already, so we don't have to worry about having issues. Secondly, we're not moving the tank very far, and it's in a pretty good location, so I think it'll still be easily accessible to our South County residents that were utilizing the tank when it was at Corning Disposal. So this agreement is the same agreement that we had with Corning Disposal. It has just been kind of updated a little bit by our new legal counsel to make sure that the agency is covered in the event that there's some kind of issue due to their lacking, not taking care of what they're supposed to be taking care of. The agency will agree to pay for the disposal of the oil, will provide the tank, but will retain the ownership. We'll pay for the tank to be relocated there. We've already paid to have the tank cleaned so that it can be relocated. It's no longer considered hazardous at this moment. We will provide a professionally prepared sign that advertises that the tank, the hours of operation. We'll inform the public that the tank is there, and we'll provide oil contamination tank kits. And we'll assist them in obtaining an EPA ID number, which I think they already have because they're a scrap metal site already. In return, they have to maintain the tank. They have to clean up any spills. They have to, any supplies they need to clean up the spills, they have to pay for. Their staff is responsible for inspecting the tank daily like we have to do for our other oil tanks. They have to assist the public in pumping the oil. And we're going to assist them in becoming a certified used oil collection center. so that if the tank gets contaminated, which we said that we would pay for so long as they're doing their due diligence, the state will actually assist us in paying for the cleanup of the contaminated tank. So we're not on the hook for something like that. Benefit to them too is that because if they do become a certified used oil collection center, then they actually get 40 cents per gallon of oil that they recycle that the public doesn't claim back for their recycling payment when they come to recycle their oil. So that's pretty cool. So there is a monetary gain for them too. So having said all of that, I strongly recommend that we pass or approve this agreement with Richfield Recycling.
So Rachel, at the end of the agreement where they're collecting the oil, who's responsible for any contamination to the soil and such, if there is any?
They're responsible for any spills.
For ongoing and at the end.
Yeah. Okay. Anything that happens to their site, they're responsible for. Any contaminated oil in the tank, we're responsible for.
So they being their staff or whomever will be doing the oil transfers will go through a training, some type of training seminar or whatever.
We'll train their staff to let them know what the regulations require them to do on a daily basis, what logs they have to keep in order to show that they're doing their maintenance, inspecting the tank, wiping down the tank. We'll show them how to do all that stuff.
And the things that we're providing for them are all covered by the grant?
Yes.
By the oil collection grant?
100%. With things that we're already providing to the other hosts of our tanks, Rob's Recycling has a tank of ours, Rancho Tehama has a tank of ours, and we were already providing these services to Point of Disposal when they were hosting our tank. As you know, we have two tanks out at the landfill, so these are all things that the state already pays for through our used oil payment program.
So no one puts anything in that tank but their staff.
That's what we encourage, yes. And that's what we've always, it's not like how it operates at the landfill just because we can't keep up with the sheer volume. At Corning Disposal, we have the staff pump that oil. So the staff has to oversee what those residents are putting in the tank.
Yeah, because I can see there being a problem.
Right.
I personally had a problem and I didn't know what to do with it. I had antifreeze go into that oil drain with oil, and so now what do you do with it?
You take those hazardous pieces.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I did.
Good job.
Okay. Okay, so you're asking for approval to sign the agreement with Richfield. Okay.
I would move approval.
We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. All right, very good. So we'll move on to the next, the Waste Hire Collection Event Grant, fiscal year 17-18. Rachel probably wants to talk about that one.
So we're requesting $44,709 from PowerCycle for a 2-4 grant, that's a 2-year cycle. You'll notice that is significantly less than what we asked for in our current cycle, and that's because I think that we've seen a significant downturn in how many tires we've collected now that the public, I think, has utilized the program and gotten used to tires. So the cleanup projects, I think, they're dying off. So we based it on the last 2015 and 2016, how many tires we collected during the year on average, and that's the money that we're asking for PowerCycle. The basic program doesn't change. It'll be 6 tire collection events, 3 per fiscal year. We'll have one in October, one in January, one in April. It'll rotate between the landfill, Cottonwood, Rancho Tehama, Manton, Haynes Creek, and Corning. And we'll also have our 2 agricultural tire collection events, which occur the entire month of February, and sometimes into mid-March if we find that we have enough money to extend the program a little bit longer. I do want to point out that because we've received this grant for the last 2 cycles, we're a Tier 3 applicant, meaning that we'll only be considered if there's money left over, and it is competitive. So there is a high likelihood that we won't get the grant this time, even if unless it's undersubscribed.
For the 17-18.
Okay. And if that's the case, then the next grant cycle that comes out in 2 years, we'll be back at, as a Tier 1 or Tier 2 applicant, so we'll have higher priority.
And so if we don't get the grant, folks that want to dispose of passenger tires will have to pay?
Right.
At about what cost?
$3 for off the rim, $7 on the rim.
Plus the weight, it's expensive.
So in light of that, since we do have money, extra money left over right now, we are opening up our April event to on-road tires. So we're trying to allow the public to utilize the program that we have right now as much as possible.
And this April we have a collection date.
Yes.
I know that you and I have talked about that in the past, I'm sure, because I always have tires laying in the alley that somebody dropped her on, you know.
It's the first
April 8th.
Okay.
My memory.
Okay.
April 8th and where?
It'll be at the landfill, the Los Angeles Transfer Station, and the Manton Transfer Station.
I got a comment on the agricultural tire collection that was just a week or two or three ago or something?
It's actually going, we extended it through March 15th, so it's still going.
Oh, it's current.
Yeah.
They had, apparently with agricultural tires, you can only take two at a time.
Right.
But you take two, you go back and get two more, which is just...
You can bring six, you just need three vouchers.
Right.
Right. So you can bring all six in one load if you can fit them in your truck.
So these people took tires, and apparently one of them didn't qualify for an agricultural tire. It was on a piece of farm equipment, but it was not an agricultural tire per se, so it didn't qualify. So they had to take that back, and that was their quota, so they took back to get more tires, and they brought one back to refill that space in that voucher. Can't do it. You got to get a new voucher. So they had to go back and get another voucher, and I started thinking, you know what? They're going to start finding tires laying alongside the road if they keep that up.
Right.
So, and that was the scale house that was doing all that, apparently. So is there a level of education we need to give to the scale house on that kind of stuff, or is that truly policy, or if it is, can something we can change?
We can certainly work with the scale house attendant to smooth out the policy to make it an easier procedure for the residents. It's not specific to the grant that each voucher has two tires, but that is the grant that we did apply for, or that is what we wrote in our work plan. So we could, we'll try to figure something out so it's an easier process for them.
Okay. Yeah, and because I can totally see the frustration. I mean, you're trying to do the good thing, you're trying to do your part, and some stupid little bureaucratic glitch,
sure.
You know.
We'll find a different process.
I've heard that also, Rachel, from people trying to clean up their agricultural property where maybe somebody drops off a passenger tire and they just put it on the truck with their agricultural tires and they've had problems. So whatever we can do to accept a wider variety.
Briefly, just for my own information, how do you define agricultural tire as opposed to truck tire, car tire?
Specifically, the way the state defines it is tires that are coming off of farm equipment. So big rig tires aren't coming off of farm equipment. There have been instances in the past where we've made exceptions where people have modified their farm equipment and they've used big rig tires on their equipment. And you can tell the difference between the people who are lying and the people who are telling the truth in both those instances. And people who are telling the truth, we do allow them to bring them in under the current guidelines.
So it's not size, not tread designs, simply what they say the use of the tire is for.
The state defines it by size and whatnot, but we don't have documentation as to what sizes are coming in for disposal. We just have a visual inspection of it. So but the state does define it by size.
Thank you.
Or tire type, rather, I guess.
I think they want to make sure they don't get the big, heavy loader tires. That's what they're trying to get away from.
Right.
farm tire's a whole lot lighter than a big loader tire. About the same size, but a lot lighter and less materials.
Well, then that begs the question, on your farm, you've got a big old loader because you use it all the time on your farm. Does that not qualify for farm tire?
No, loader tire wouldn't.
Yeah. Okay.
One more note on that is Lennox Tire moved across the street.
Okay. Well, it did our outreach.
Yeah, so when you get ready to do that next year, he'll hopefully still be across the street. I don't know. He's still paying me, so I'm hoping that. He has a new address.
Okay.
Okay?
That's good to know.
Okay, any other questions? If not, we're looking for a motion to approve the resolution.
Motion to approve.
Second. Go ahead, Jim.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other question? Seeing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. We're good. All right, number three is informational item. Tama County Recycled Market Development Zone Marketing Plan Update. I think Rachel wants this one.
So back in 2013, the Tama County Sanitary Life Agency actually approved this recycled market development zone marketing plan. And since then, we've gone through cycles of not having funding, having funding, not having funding from PowerCycle. Now we have funding again. And we're able to roll over our funding from last fiscal year to this fiscal year so that we can work on implementing the marketing plans and kind of picked up where they left off. I won't go through this in too much detail unless you have specific questions because the marketing plan is attached. But I will say that if anybody would like to review the SWOT analysis, I can absolutely send it to you. I just didn't include it because it's quite lengthy. So one of the goals of this fiscal year was to finish the implementation of the marketing plan, which has four specific goals. The first goal is to increase the knowledge of the program amongst potential businesses and stakeholders. We're currently working on objective 1.1, which is to improve our web presence of our greenloadsupport.com website. We've met with Pacific Sky Marketing out of Reading and had several conversations back and forth regarding optimizing our website for search engine searches. And the number one way to optimize your website, we found out, is to make it so it's mobile friendly, and ours is absolutely not. So it would cost us more money to redesign our current website to make it more mobile friendly than to just plug in our information to kind of like a standard off-the-shelf website. So that's what we're working on right now. They're working on that, and that should be done by the end of this fiscal year. The second objective is to meet with at least two local economic developers or institutions of higher education. I actually met with Amanda before, she's in her current role, earlier this fiscal year, and I gave her a tour of the landfill and kind of went over some of the needs of what solid waste has and how it pertains to the recycled market development zone, as well as how her working with the economic development and our agency can kind of come together with this program. I do have it, I am reaching out to Shasta College right now to see if I can meet with an environmental professor or teacher to see if we could maybe get a project with their students or see how we might be able to kind of blend our agency and our goals together with Shasta College students. So that one is in process. Objective 1.3 is to develop program marketing material. I completed this before we lost funding prior to this fiscal year. We have a half-page at-a-glance full-color informational flyer and a full-color trifold program flyer. And Rich actually mailed these flyers out to 140 businesses that are already in the market of using materials that recycling materials in their current business, to try to draw them into our county. Even though that's not specifically part of the marketing plan, we were trying to get our information out. Objective 1.4 is to compose and send a program notification letter to the four prime manufacturing associations listed in the market plan and local businesses identified in objective 4.1 and 4.2. I'm in the process of drafting this letter, and Rich has already compiled the list of local businesses to send the letter to. Objective 1.5 is to hold a booth or attend a manufacturing association conference for Target Materials in Northern California. This is in process. We developed a booth specific to the Tehama County Recycled Market Development Zone, and Rich will be attending the California Green Summit in April in Sacramento. Goal number two is to identify strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. All of the objectives listed in goal number two were completed before we lost funding previously in 2014 and were approved by the Tehama County Sanitary Landfill Agency. And that is the analysis that if you'd like to see a copy of, please let me know and I will be happy to send it to you. It's just a little bit long. Goal number four is to determine and evaluate potential incentives that are already not in place. That was also included in the SWOT analysis. And it is also complete and has been approved by the previous JPA one. And goal number four is to identify businesses that may benefit from the TCRMDZ. 4.1 is to identify potential manufacturers in Tehama, Glen, Butte, and Shasta counties that may benefit from the program and make direct contact. This is in process. We've already compiled a list of manufacturers and we will be making direct contact with them. 4.2 is to identify established RMDZ manufacturing businesses in California and throughout the West Coast and make direct contact with GREE. We've mailed information out to these entities already and we will be following up with phone calls. So it's in process.
Rachel, with regard to objective 1.3, develop the marketing materials. Mm-hmm. Do we ever, or would it be helpful to scan and send information to 211 Tehama?
We could do that. Yep.
You know, I know we. I think we have, and don't we have a contract for advertising? I'm just information that you think might be helpful, as well as we redevelop our website to drive people there too,
sure.
Because especially the elderly folks are looking for services. We could try it. It's probably already part of the contract. It wouldn't be an additional cost.
Okay, yeah. No, I'll certainly make contact with 211. No.
Thank you.
All right, anything else from anybody? All right, that was informational only, and I'm sure you'll keep us updated on that.
Yes.
Then we'll go to the next one. It's the organics management options for local government informational presentation. That would be you again, Rachel.
So at the request of the board in January, this is an informational presentation on what's coming down the pipe for us, all of which will pretty much have taken hold by 2020. So this is something that we're needing to really focus on right now because 2020 is not very far away. So goal number 10 for the agency this year is that the agency will no longer receive a diversion credit for green waste uses ADC, alternative daily cover, beginning January 1st, 2020. This will negatively affect our diversion rate and per capita disposal. In the next 5 to 10 years, it is also likely that organics will be banned from landfills altogether. So we want, if the original goal was to, if we had money left over in our professional services budget category, that we would consider hiring a consultant to develop a long-term plan to manage organics. That being said, as you know, this has been a very expensive year for our agency. We are already running in the red because we had to purchase a new vehicle. So this is something that the agency board will need to consider when approving next year's fiscal budget, because we certainly can't put it off. So state diversion trends, 8939 to 80. The Integrated Waste Management Act was passed in 1989. The purpose was to direct attention to the increasing waste stream and decreasing landfill capacity. And it also created the current structure of power recycle and their ability to take enforcement actions against landfills. And it created the waste diversion requirement of 50% of the AB or the 1989 level by January 1st of 2000. Later on down the road, as a result of the AB 32 greenhouse gas emissions reductions law, the scoping plan that focused primarily on disposal reduction and specifically on commercial disposal reduction. Cal Recycle passed AB 341 in 2012. That's a mandatory commercial recycling law. The purpose was to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by diverting commercial solid waste and waste from multifamily dwellings. It also created recycling program requirements for qualifying businesses. Those are businesses that produce 4 or more cubic yards of waste per week, or in multifamily dwellings that have 5 or more units. And it's at the same time set a statewide waste reduction goal, not diversion, that's very important, of 75% by 2020. So that's supposed to be source reduction or recycling, but not diversion. So things like Green Waste's ADC will no longer qualify as part of your reduction of waste. When they passed AB 341, the governor adopted the 75% strategy. This had 5 prongs to it. The first was to move organics out of the landfill. The second was to expand recycling and manufacturing infrastructure. The third was to explore new models of state and local funding for materials management, to promote state procurement of post-consumer recycled content products, and to promote EPR. And you've seen many of the new EPR laws come down for carpet, paint, and the such. So right now, the state is really focusing on organics because a large portion of what's currently being landfilled is still organics, and that's a statewide thing. So recent organics disposal legislation started in 2014 with AB 1826, which went into effect January 1st of 2016. It phased in organics recycling law for qualifying businesses and multifamily dwellings. It's a tiered approach, so every year it goes down a little bit. The first was if you produce 6 cubic yards of organic waste per week, then you qualify, then it was 4, then it was 2. It's pretty soon it'll just be a few probably, I guess. It also provided an exemption for rural jurisdictions, which our agency chose to take advantage of. Rural jurisdictions that had 70,000 people or less didn't have to implement the mandatory commercial organics recycling. And then thirdly, it actually came out with a formal definition of what organics meant, and that is food waste, green waste, landscape waste, non-hazardous wood waste, meaning not painted or not treated, and food soil paper that is mixed in with food waste. More recently, the state passed AB 876. This is the Organics Management Infrastructure Planning. The agency has to begin reporting on these items beginning the 2016 reporting year, which means that will be our the annual report we submit this year. The purpose is to address long-term planning for organics infrastructure. It requires counties and regional agencies to report our estimated volume of organics over a 15-year period. Our estimated additional organic waste recycling facility capacity that we're going to need to handle that volume, and areas that we can identify as new locations or expanded locations for recycling facilities that meet the volume and capacity needs that we'll have in the next 15 years.
I'm going to guess that there's somebody out there working on how to deal with organic waste. I mean, to compost it and, you know, bring it in, compost it, and get it back out again.
Right.
Because with all of these regulations that are coming up, I mean, it could be a huge, both a huge market for that and a huge burden on the local agencies.
It is. And so it's mostly difficult because everybody has a different goal in mind. The Water Board doesn't want compost facilities because they don't want the stormwater issues. The Air Board doesn't want compost facilities because they don't want the methane generation. But anaerobic digestion facilities are very expensive and they only handle food waste. So recently I've been told by our representative that we talked to at Cal Recycle that the three heads of those three agencies came together and was like, look, we really need to start working together because we all have the same goal in mind, but we're working in our own silos that are making it almost impossible for the local jurisdictions to do this.
Yeah, good. So they're, they got the word they need to talk to each other.
Yes. So AB 1383, this is from the Air Board, the short-lived climate pollutants, organic waste methane emissions reductions. The purpose of this is to, again, reduce emissions of short-lived climate pollutants. Those are things like black carbon, methane, and fluorinated gases from refrigerants. It establishes a 50% reduction in statewide disposal of organic waste by 2020 and 75% by 2025. There are absolutely no exemptions for rural jurisdictions. And the director of PowerCycle has sent us, all the jurisdictions, a letter in January saying that if the statewide goal is not obtained, then all AB 826 exemptions will be repealed.
And what are those again?
That's the mandatory commercial organics recycling law. And lastly, AB 1594, which is effective January 1st, 2020, the use of green materials ADC will no longer constitute as diversion credit for, and so it will be considered disposal for the jurisdiction. So at that point, we will no longer be utilizing that material. The landfill will have to send it off, all of it offsite, rather than the small portion that we're currently sending offsite.
So people are no longer going to be able to take their organics, so they're going to push it into the creek bed.
Well, we can accept it, but we have to have a program.
I know.
Yeah.
But I mean, if...
Well, then they'll be creating methane, and they'll be creating...
That's exactly right. Then,
but that,
I mean,
you know,
there has to be some alternatives for us, because that's a whole lot of...
But again, that's the nature of nature.
But what they're saying, they don't want it at the landfill at all.
Yeah.
It's
not diversion anymore. They want reduction.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So are you going to tell Home Depot to quit selling plants and flowers and shrubbery? Are you going to tell Walmart to quit selling? I mean, are you going to have mandates so people are going to have a desert in their front lawn?
Yeah, tell nature to stop growing trees.
You know, I mean...
Yeah, yeah, no, really, it's the nature of nature.
Unless we have... I mean, people are going to need some help with this.
They're going to have to learn how to grow skinless bananas.
Has the state even remotely considered the financial degree? I mean, this is a huge work projected.
Yeah.
If you're thinking about, okay, all your little eggshells and everything else, by that definition of organic, it's nearly everything.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And then it has to be recycled in some way that doesn't give off methane gas. It doesn't do some of the other stuff. I mean, these guys can sit in Sacramento, listen to, and somebody's going to be making big bucks off of this. Somebody's definitely pushing a lot of this. How are they going to enforce that? It's going to be like Seattle, they go through your garbage. If they find some, you know, half-eaten chicken in there, they're not going to pick up your garbage. You're not going to have the people of California paying a damn bit of attention to this when we get these huge processing plants of whatever kind that we come up with. What the hell are we going to do with all this compost? For one thing, are you gonna sell it to the private industry? Are you gonna subsidize it? Are you gonna build out California into the ocean? I mean, these I kind of followed this a little bit in the news. I have to admit, I'm not an authority on this, but the whole proposal of this is utterly preposterous.
Yeah, it is. Again, it's the nature of nature. That's how nature works.
It's the nature of stupid government bureaucrats and people who line their pockets with whatever little programs are going to come up with.
Yeah, man, oh man.
Well, the thing that concerned me most there is the amount of diversion, and the other thing is there's no exemption for rural areas. And, you know, if you have the large enough population, you can probably find a way to get around the regulations and maintain, but I really see this as an issue for us. And I see it as an issue for rural counties that have a state and federal forest and all the other things with beetle kill and everything else that we have going on. I think we need some help. We don't need regulation. We need some help. And whatever we can do to get help, I would certainly like to see us. And I'm not complaining to you. I'm just saying, okay, I'm willing to do this, but how are we going to do it?
Right.
You know?
It's a question that everybody... I was going to touch on this later in my presentation, but you know, we've had regional meetings with our neighbors, and our agency took the initiative and invited them in and said, we're all in the same boat here, you know, and we're small, and you have counties like Trinity County that, I mean, come on, they're 14,000 people, you know?
Yeah.
But, so.
They could always rent the waste space, take the waste from neighboring county to smaller counties and just transport it around.
Anyway.
Yeah. Transfer until it organically decomposes.
Yeah.
Put it on a train.
As it just a little bit sort of dribbles out the back of the truck as it goes down the road.
Get a 60-day pass deferment.
So as you can see, the state has not been shy about issuing these out, and they've all come out in the last few years. And they've come out as a result of the state's goal of trying to achieve 75% source reduction and recycling, which they're nowhere even close to getting. They're only at about 46%.
And I find it hard to believe that they ever would.
And I would hope that if they're going to ask residential and commercial, 5 units is commercial, fiveplex.
Yeah.
So a sixplex or an eightplex is going to be commercial. What about those folks who are packaging everything that you buy in the store? Mm-hmm. What about the organics in packaging? Mm-hmm. You know, that's, I mean, we're going to have some help there too, because the number one waste worldwide is food, which is included. And I would guess that a really high second is packaging. I mean, buy something from Amazon.
Yeah.
You get it in 2 or 3 packages, mm-hmm. you know? So. We need some help. Thank you.
So this is data based on the 2014 PolyCycle Waste Characterization Study. If you recall, PolyCycle actually chose our site to be representative of what rural jurisdictions are tossing in the landfill. So this data is not statewide data. It is specific to Tehama County. Two things that are fairly interesting about Tehama County is, one, we have less organic waste than the statewide average. Mm-hmm. And I think that's because we have a lot of families who live on land who have animals, and they don't, you know, and they leave their yard waste out to decompose, or they have their own compost, backyard compost going on. The other is our inerts and other, which that's C&D. We're actually much higher than the statewide average, about 10%. And my thought is that because we don't have any resources to recycle anything in Tehama County, the nearest C&D MRF is actually in Sacramento. So we're not able to utilize that material, so it's going to landfill. Currently, the only thing we're actually utilizing is concrete or brick, and that's on site for road base. So using that data, 2016, we landfilled 51,862 tons of waste. So if you take the 28.7% organics, that would estimate that we actually landfilled 14,884.39 tons of organic waste last year. Yeah. We accepted 3,553.97 tons of green waste. That's from residential curbside. That is from commercial curbside, and that is self-haul to the landfill. Of that, we use 1,854 tons as ADC. The reason why we don't use it all is because during the winter months, we aren't allowed to use green waste as ADC unless we have projected 72 hours without rain, and that's a water board requirement. So per 876, which we are required to report on this year, we've been diligent in making sure we're getting all of our ducks in a row. Our projected disposal in 15 years will be 54,512 tons. Of that, the projected organics disposal will be 16,081 tons. So that's the capacity that we need to plan for. Huh. So how we're gonna manage this? We have preventative measures, that's smart landscaping, you know, use native plants, grass cycling, that's like when you mow your lawn, you leave the grass there to its natural fertilizer, leaf mulching, and food waste reduction. The agency already does outreach on all of these preventative measures as part of our compliance for 8939.
Mm-hmm. We need more hog farms.
We do need more hog farms.
They eat everything.
More chickens, more hogs.
Yeah, they eat everything.
We also have food recovery. That'll be food donation, farm gleaning, and food to animals. The agency participates with the Community Food Alliance, and we actively support these as well. We give them ideas that I know that they've adopted and taken out in their efforts to feed the public.
With food donation, don't we have a problem that be one thing if I buy a couple of extra cans of something and drop it in the basket, as opposed to I have a dinner party and I have some lots of nice leftover stuff. I can't just tote it down to the homeless shelter now because of all the laws about you can't touch it, all this sort of thing. You can't bake cookies for your schools. So I mean, how do you donate used food, in other words, that's excess food that's not sitting in my pantry in a can or a bag?
Right.
How do we encourage that?
So there always has been that fear of post-consumer food. That how do you deal with that? There's a fear of liability, and just recently, I mean, it's always been an act, but it's been more formalized than the Good Samaritan Act. Meaning, if you're just trying to be a good person and feed someone, you can't be sued for if they got sick or whatever. So it's as long as you're in due diligence.
But does that include the agency that's then distributing the food that you donate?
Mm-hmm. The only problem is that there really aren't very many outlets of prepared food now. You know, we did have the church that was feeding people. We donated lots of food when we had different events. When we had, like, we hosted the Northern California Household Hazardous Waste Information Exchange. We had a ton of leftover food that was prepared food, and we gave it to them. But they're not there anymore. So we just don't have any outlets for something like that.
Drop some by my house.
We're going to all sign up.
I'll be happy.
Yeah, I'm afraid to eat Lynn's cookies. I don't know what she's putting in. That's, boy.
Brownies.
Even worse yet.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a big scary one there.
People have been eating them for years.
I can remember years ago. Kind of.
So really what we're looking for commercial and residential entities and residents, we're looking at one of two programs, aerobic digestion, which is composting essentially. The problem with aerobic digestion is that you have food waste and you have green waste. Most facilities aren't permitted to accept food waste, they're permitted to accept green waste, and they're very nervous about taking food waste because of the fear that they'll have odor problems or they'll be bumped up into a regulation requirement or something like that. We have a few local options. Compost Solutions is where we currently send our green waste. They accept only green waste and dairy waste. Trico Green Waste Composting Facility, they're very picky, so if you have any contamination, you essentially get banned from bringing green waste to that facility. Currently, all the green waste that is generated out of the city of Corning is going to that facility. And we have Northern Recycling Compost in Zamora, and they accept all organics. The problem with facilities that are already pre-existing, though, is that they're already at capacity because everyone is being forced to find an outlet for this material.
And so places like Northern Recycling Compost and Zamora at capacity, mm-hmm. they're there, they're in operation. Apparently, they can do it and, you know, have a budget and make it work. Is that incentive for other businesses?
I think it is. And that's something that we've really been focusing on with the RMDZ, is that we've really been targeting companies that manage organics in one way or another. And if they already know the regulatory hurdles that they have to deal with, it's not such a scary thing. It's the startup businesses who are being introduced to all these regulatory hurdles that it really, I think, scares them. So, and then they don't want to deal with it. Or you have the really small composters like Earthworm Soil Factory in Chico, who is just there where he doesn't have to, a little bit more, and he opens up the flood banks and regulations.
New can of worms.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's this scalability. So these large organizations, they already know, and they already have the funds to do something like that. So we'd like them to expand.
Again, I think there's a huge opportunity mm-hmm. as these regulations become more and more restrictive.
The other option is anaerobic digestion. That's when you put it into a big container and you harvest the methane. They're food waste only. They like very little yard waste. What we had discussed previously with our other, with all of our neighbors, is that if we could get some sort of regional like milk run with a rendering company, where we could weekly or bi-weekly, they could come to each one of our sites and pick up whatever organic waste we had collected from the public. In conversation with North State Rendering, I think last year in an ESJPA meeting, they were considering doing something similar to that. You really want to find an existing facility because these sorts of operations are very expensive to start up. But again, we do have North State Rendering in Oroville. They're nowhere near capacity. They're only getting about 20 tons a day, and they're permitted for 300, so it's pretty good.
And what's their product?
Methane.
Their main product from all that is methane. That's what they sell.
Yeah.
Huh. And so what do they do with the solid waste? That is just,
they're trying to find a market for the like pellets. You can make like dog food out of it, things like that. So they're looking into a market for that. They actually just moved from rendering to being an AD facility. So they got a grant to increase the capacity so that they can do that.
So they're on board with all this, and they're ready to attack the market.
They're ahead of the game, frankly.
Yeah.
And because they were a rendering facility before, and they still do a small amount of rendering, they still fall under rendering facility regulations, which are regulated by the USDA and not by CalRecycle. So they're a lot less stringent.
So is there a possibility of either regionally or countywide getting a grant here to bring one of these facilities, one of these companies to our county, so that they don't have to go to a larger operation, but do it in a different location?
Mm-hmm. We would like them to expand into our county, and that's why we have been hitting them up with the RMVZ, and that's also why we've been meeting with our regional partners.
Do you think the county board of supervisors would accept something like that?
It would be our.
I think so.
It would be this JPA, wouldn't it? I mean, the board, I'm sure we would look at it, but I mean, it's the JPA that would do that, right?
If it were a private entity coming into Tehama County who would want to expand, mm-hmm. it would be through the board of supervisors. Well,
it has to be located.
The jurisdiction is.
So.
Right, so it could be the city or the county.
Yeah, be it city or county. It has to be located somewhere.
It wouldn't be through the JPA.
And there'd be zoning and all that.
I think you guys are going to have to cut those sycamore trees.
I'm with it. Let's take them all down.
I think if we could get a location.
Yeah. So currently, work we've been doing, as I mentioned before, we're in the midst of hosting a series of regional jurisdictional meetings that include Trinity, Shasta, Butte, and Glenn counties. We've also gotten CalRecycle to attend these meetings. The next one is scheduled in April. It was jointly agreed that the agency will host these because we're more the kind of the central hub. And I certainly don't mind showing off our beautiful building. So, our agency is marketing the Tehama County RMDZ to organics management organizations. And as you know, we're really focusing on the marketing plan so that we can effectively market the RMDZ. The agency has requested a list of appropriately zoned parcels of land in Tehama County that could be utilized for a program from the planning department.
That's the question. That was what I was throwing.
Yeah, I think we'd look at it.
Yeah.
We have to.
Yeah, no, I think it would be good for everybody.
Yeah. And the agency is including the cost to hire a consultant to complete a feasibility study in the proposed fiscal year 17 to recommend a budget to the full board, which will go before you later on this year.
Yeah, okay.
That's it.
I hate those consultants. That's it. Rachel, that is awesome.
That's great.
I mean, you're all over that. And
yes, she is.
As would anybody would hope, but I mean, you're on it and in it.
It's a lot of stuff coming back too, but it's scary stuff.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, it's really nice to have somebody that's on top of it.
Yeah.
So is your staff, I know your staff has done things for schools, but is your staff available for like composting classes for like Neighborhood Watch or neighborhoods and that kind of stuff?
Yes.
Very good.
We do give composting presentations to the public. We go to schools, we go to plant sales. Anybody who wants to hear us talk, we're happy to talk.
Yeah, I'd like to talk. Animals like my compost pile because I have food and green waste. Raccoons like it.
So with that, unless you have any questions, I'm going to turn it over to Rich to do the outreach.
Rich with the outreach.
How was that to breathe?
That's all right. Rachel had a lot to say. Let's see if you can beat her.
It's not going to happen, just so you know. Just for you, I'll just hit some of the highlights on the outreach. Paul and I have been out, the children, we've been two schools, been out to Flournoy Elementary, and Los Palitos, we saw five classes. We're four kids plus out there. And we actually have several more on the docket still for this year. We've had, I think, 13 or 14 presentations so far. So it's been really good. Paul also, speaking of presentations, he gave a recycling presentation to the Kiwanis Club of Red Love and to the Lava Charter School, who in turn started a recycling program at their school.
So, great. Good.
Another thing we're really excited about, we're talking a lot about the drug take back. We did put a new kiosk in a Corning Fire Department. Paul and Rachel went along for the ribbon cutting. It was well accepted.
Corning PD.
Yeah. Yes.
Corning. Yeah. Corning.
Nice
fire. Oh, is it fire department? I meant PD. How's that? Rachel and I met with the Army Corps of Engineers at Blackie Reservoir recently regarding the refuel fund, HD27 grant, which is encouraging people to recycle the 1 pound disposable propane cylinders. They are going to partner up with us. We're going to be putting in two collection receptacles, specifically for propane bottles at the Buckhorn Campground. And to kick it off, we're gonna join up with them with their life jacket exchange promotion they do in June. So we're gonna have a kickoff and promote the whole idea as well. And I believe we're gonna have some of the refillables with us to exchange. So if you have empty old style, we'll switch you out with the new refillables. So
they're donated by Waste Connections.
Yeah.
Good. Oh, yeah.
25. Yeah. We in turn, after that, met with the officials at Lassen Park on the same grant. They're going to partner with us as well. They're going to put in a couple of the receptacles, and we're going to kick off with them during their Trails Challenge on June 10th. So everybody's getting on board.
Good.
That's great.
Paul and I met with James Miller from the Red Bluff Roundup regarding advertising at the Round Bluff. The Round Bluff. At the Roundup this year, we're going to put up a booth, we're going to have a 4x8 sign, and we're going to have a half-page ad, which I happen to have a copy of here if you guys want to take a look at it. This is to promote the reusable propane bottles.
Yeah.
Cost a little more up front, but you can use it for 10 years. Cost you like a dollar or so to refill it. Long run, you save a lot of money. Really neat program. So that's going to happen at the Roundup this year. Let's see, Paul went to the Chamber Business Expo. I guess the weather was not good, but the turnout was.
Yeah,
so
it was good. I was there.
It was really positive, really good thing. And then, yes, we did have a passenger tire collection event on January 14th, which was successful. We had 889 tires brought down and kept out of the landfill, so it's a good thing. Any questions?
I have one question.
Sure.
Not necessarily well, it's kind of an outreach, I suppose. You used to send those nice little magnetic cards that would show us when you pick up the green waste versus when you pick up the garbage. Why did we stop sending those, or did I just not get one?
That's Waste Connections provides that to their customers. You can call and request it. Maybe you just didn't get it.
Yeah, I got one.
Yeah, I got one.
I didn't get one. I'm a customer.
So call it, they'll send you another.
Well, you sit on the board. You don't need one. You don't even deserve one. You sit on the board.
I can't keep track. I'm retired now. Every day is like a Saturday. Today. I have no idea.
I just set mine out. If it doesn't get dumped, okay, it's next week.
Yeah. I look at the neighbors.
that's what I do. I count
on them. But she passed away, so now.
Neighbors aren't customers. Sometimes they're wrong.
Well, then we'll all be out there.
Okay.
The refillable bottles.
All right, thank you, Rich.
Where are they selling those? I haven't seen one yet.
They're at U-Haul right now, but this past week, we've made significant progress in getting other local stores, recreational stores, to start also selling them and refilling them. So U-Haul was the only local location to buy them online, but they were the only person selling them and exchanging or refilling them. But now we have the Napa in Corning is interested. We have a meeting with them next week. There's a few, or the gentleman who works for, he manages the Manzanita store in Lassen. He's going to start doing it. Okay. So we're really starting, it's just kind of starting.
California Park Service?
Yes, him. He's going to put it in all 44 of his locations throughout the whole state, which is great.
Maybe I'll swing by and get some. But I haven't seen any yet.
Yeah, they're
still pretty new.
Yeah.
So, but hopefully the populator pick up. What's it cost? It's $3.50 a piece to dispose of them.
Yeah, they're expensive. So $12
really?
To buy the initial ones.
It's expensive.
Like $1.
It costs us more to dispose of than it costs to purchase.
I buy it. Yeah.
What's that?
I refill mine. The other side, but
you're
not supposed to. But I just <Yeah. Yeah. laughs>
take that off the table.
Yeah.
My $12 for the adapter to refill one place.
You better adjourn.
So things are starting to pick up with that. We're excited.
All right. All right. Rachel, have you got anything else?
I'm all talked up.
Are you? That's too bad. Anybody from the board have anything they'd like to add to this?
I look tired.
If not, we'll adjourn at
6:32,
1 hour. 6:32 on the dot.
And I have this great section of the SWOT analysis. I thought you could use it in your work.
Thank you.
In your other work, you know, not this.
And I'm starting to.
Well, my experience is
through probation.
I want to reach out to
the same
thing. Oh, man. You guys figured it out.
Thank you.
I didn't make them.
Yeah,
I'm looking for the heavy fiber inside that.